Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn this morning is found in your brown or tan worship supplement. We'll sing hymn 728. To follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion until the day of our Lord. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaim the Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry.
God, through the sacrifice and resurrection of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to us, your faithful people, whom you have rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys in heaven with you. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is a responsive psalm. We'll read Psalm 67 responsively, beginning on page 4 in your bulletin. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make his face shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. The earth has yielded its increase. God shall bless us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 24. We'll read verses 13 through 35. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the account of what happened on Easter afternoon when Jesus met with two disciples as they were walking to the town of Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Clopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the middle of page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our service continues with our next hymn, hymn 563.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace and peace to you from Jesus our Savior, who is the light of the world and the light of our life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 John chapter 1. We'll read verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, which means atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain fears that people have that are so prevalent that they are nearly universal. One of those fears would be the fear of the dark. I won't ask you if you're afraid of the dark, but I would assume that all of us at certain times in our lives have been afraid of the dark before. I can think of at least a time this week where I was walking very cautiously in the dark. I wouldn't say I was necessarily afraid, but that's usually one of the reasons behind our fear of the dark, isn't it? There is a fear of the unknown, not knowing exactly what is lurking around the next corner. There's a few dark spots on my way home from church if I'm over here in the evening that I usually walk a little more carefully in those dark places. It's not just that fear of the unknown, it is, as I mentioned, for safety's sake. I don't want to trip or fall, I don't want to run into anything, a stray palm tree or something like that. You don't want to hurt yourself, so you walk very carefully when you're in the dark. This makes perfect sense, right? Why we have some apprehension, why we have some fear of the dark or the darkness. What is so unusual and what is so tragic is that as human beings, the one particular type of darkness that we should be most afraid of, we not only are not afraid of it, we're actually drawn to it by nature. The type of darkness I'm speaking of is, of course, spiritual darkness. You see, for each and every one of us, we are born with a darkness inside of us. It's the type of darkness we're born with spiritually. We are born with it, and even after we get to know the light of life, Jesus, we still carry around in us some of that darkness, that sinful flesh that's inside of us, warring with the light that Jesus has put there by faith. That's the part of us that actually heads towards the darkness, that actually likes the darkness. Our fallen human nature finds sin and darkness to be liberating, to be exciting and fun. Jesus says that's the way of our human nature. In John 3, he referred to himself and his gospel message as the light. And he says this about the light in contrast to our human darkness. He says, "The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So no matter how fun or liberating sin feels, the fact is that it is still darkness. In that very same passage, John 3:19, Jesus says that this is condemnation. Therefore, God has nothing to do with it, and we as his children should not want anything to do with it either. Our text for this morning tells us that there are three specific blessings that we enjoy if we don't dwell in the darkness, but instead live in the light. First of all, when we live in the light and walk in the light, as our text puts it, we are walking with God Himself. Our text puts it this way: God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. As light, God is the complete opposite of darkness. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. I can see outside from my vantage point here, but think of the sunny day we have today, or think of the sunny days we've had recently, how there is simply no darkness outside, especially in the middle of the day. Where there is bright light, there is no darkness. And our text tells us that God is the definition of light itself. What does that mean? Well, John, of course, is not speaking about physical light and physical darkness. He's speaking instead about spiritual things. He's using a picture to illustrate spiritual things. Light is righteousness, truth, true wisdom, true life, eternal life. We heard John call God light in our text. And in his gospel, John also calls Jesus the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus himself speaks of himself as being light. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Bible also speaks of God's word as being a light, specifically the gospel being a light. The Apostle Paul says, "The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Darkness, of course, in the spiritual sense, would be the complete opposite. It represents wickedness or evil, deceit, ignorance, especially the ignorance of Christ and His Word, unbelief, and eventually even eternal death. If light is God and the things of God, His Word, then darkness is the realm of Satan. It is the realm of the unbelieving world around us. The Apostle Paul tells us that Satan and his minions are the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. I don't need to tell you that we live in a world that can be very complicated, a world that can be very confusing, very messy. And we can be led to believe that we live and dwell in nothing but a bunch of different gray areas morally. Half good, half bad choices and options. Lifestyles and decisions that aren't really fully right or fully wrong. They're just in the middle somewhere. However, when we look at Scripture, when we look at what God says, things become a lot less complicated. Things really do become a lot more black and white. The difference between light and darkness. God is not a morally neutral God. He is not up in heaven somewhere flipping a coin to determine whether this situation we're in is a good thing or a bad thing, whether this situation is a sin or whether it's not a sin. No, as our text tells us, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is all righteousness, all holiness, all truth, and all life. And as such, He wants and even commands us, His children, to be the same. Think of this passage from Peter's first letter, a quote from the Old Testament. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." The Apostle Paul also writes this, "For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial," another name for the devil? "What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Those morally gray areas in our life tend to clear up pretty quickly when we ask ourselves in each situation, am I living in the light? Or am I at least heading toward the light by what I'm saying, by what I'm doing, or what I'm thinking? Or am I heading toward or actually dwelling in the darkness? Am I pursuing righteousness and truth by my thoughts, my words, and my actions? Or am I pursuing empty, destructive desires that come from my own sinful heart? Our text warns us against living this way. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But our text goes on to remind us that another blessing is ours. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, not only do we live with God, but it says we have fellowship with one another. What a blessing that is. It's a blessing that we probably far too often take for granted. Do you take the time each day to give thanks to God for the blessing that fellowship is, a sharing with your fellow believers? It's a bond that can truly be made only when we have a shared faith in our Savior Jesus. It's the common bond of faith that brings us together on a Sunday morning. We could be doing a host of other things that would be enjoyable and pleasant and even good. And we gather here for Bible study and to hear and reap blessings from God's Word and to worship Him. It's the common bond that we share when we walk in the light as He is in the light. That bond of faith and that gift of fellowship with one another becomes even more important and more valuable as we head even closer to the last day, the day when Jesus returns again. The writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day, he's referring there to Judgment Day, the last day, as you see that day approaching. It's no secret that we are living in increasingly dark times. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV, watch for a few minutes. Watch the news, surf the internet, read the paper. We live in a world that is filled with darkness, with sin and unbelief. A world that is filled with fear, that at times seems completely void of love and kindness, but instead filled with hate, pain, and bad news. The light of our fellowship together in Christ in this day and age especially is priceless. It becomes more and more priceless and valuable the darker this world gets. Have you ever been in a completely dark place before? I mean completely dark, like so dark it's thick. You can almost feel it like a wall in front of you, whether it's in a basement that's completely enclosed, or maybe you've been and toured a cave underground. The darkness is literally thick. It's amazing how much a little light can do in a dark place like that, isn't it? If you were in that cave doing the tour and they maybe light a match, or I have on my one of my keychains this little tiny LED light. In this setting, this doesn't do a whole lot. But let me tell you, if you're fumbling for your keys in front of a dark door, in complete darkness, this would be a lifesaver. And yet, as powerful as a little light in the darkness is, and it is powerful, especially in deep darkness, how much brighter and greater are the lights in our sanctuary? If I gave you the option today of this light for our worship service or the lights in church, especially if it was a night service, you would not choose this little light. So each one of us reflect Christ with our light, but how much greater if we all are reflecting Christ's light? More lights, greater light. Jesus actually says to each one of us and all of us collectively, you are the light of the world. That's astounding. We are the light of the world. He said He was the light of the world, and He says you are. Why? Because we reflect His light. We don't produce it. We reflect it. Jesus goes on to say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, how can I live in the light when it seems that there's so many times in my day, in my week, where I am dwelling in the darkness? How can I head towards the light when most of the time I really do just want to dabble at least a little bit in the darkness? Nothing too evil, nothing too sinful, mind you, but I really do like some of my pet sins. I really do like some of those indulgences that I know are wrong, but I really just have a hard time saying no to. Do you know that feeling? Do you know what I'm talking about? There is an answer, and there is only one answer. Jesus. Remember that He is the reason you have been called to walk in the light in the first place. It wasn't you that decided that this light of Christ is the better place to be. No, by nature we love the darkness. We loved our ignorance, loved our unbelief and sin. Jesus is the one who came to us and rescued us from sin and death and turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Jesus gave us His light and the brightness of His righteousness by taking upon Himself the ultimate darkness, the darkness of the cross, where He took upon Himself all the world's sins, our sins, took our punishment, our hell, the death that we deserved for us. Our text then reminds us that when we walk in the light of faith, not only do we walk with God and do we have fellowship with each other, but also the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let that little word "all" sink in. All sin. Not some sins, most sins, or just the little ones or the medium-sized ones, but all sin. Even the ones that we have a hard time getting over or, quote-unquote, forgiving ourselves for. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is the greatest blessing of all. After all, aren't we going to stumble sometimes? Yes. Are we at times going to wander back into the darkness of sin and possibly even weakness of faith or maybe even full-blown unbelief at times? Yes, possibly. But Christ has freed us from the chains of guilt, from the stains of our sin by His shed blood. We have the precious promises in our text. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our text finishes with these words, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a defender with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the full payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." That forgiveness is so important to remember. But let's also remember that Christ has also freed us from the power sin has over us, from our compulsion by nature to dwell in the darkness, or at least dabble in the darkness, instead of living in the light. And that is why John writes in our text, "Little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." The chains of sin no longer have hold over us. God tells us in His word that you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5. The Bible also says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light." So then, fellow children of the light, let's do just that. Through the power of the light of Christ and His word, Let's no longer dwell in darkness. Let's live in the light. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with our next hymn, hymn 704. Rise. This morning, prayers have been requested for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. She's going to be undergoing thyroid surgery soon to remove her thyroid because of cancer. And we pray that the Lord would keep that cancer from from spreading. We also offer prayers for our school and our congregation, that he would lead the teacher that we have called, Paul Tiefel, to accept our call to be teacher and principal at our school. Any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great physician of both body and soul. Therefore, we place our beloved sister Michelle into your tender care, trusting both your power and your grace to save. Give the necessary skills to the surgeon and bless his work. If it be your will, Lord, keep the cancer from spreading and help the surgery to remove it all. Watch at all times that no harm accidentally comes upon Michelle. And through the wound that the surgeon must make, grant the blessing of your healing hand. If her hospital stay should prove to be a trial and a cross, dear Lord, help her bear it. Take away all her apprehensions and discomfort and replace it soon with joy. In her anxious moments, give her calm assurance through your word, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." May this comfort also be shared by the members of her family who are praying for favorable results from this surgery. In all the trials that she must yet face, help her to remember your redeeming love and the sacrifice she made on the cross for all people, and help her take refuge there. Hear us, O Jesus. Amen. Dear Jesus, our Savior, you are the light of the world. We thank and praise you for leading us out of darkness into the light of life. We come before you with prayers for our congregation and our school, asking you to move the heart of Paul Tiefel to, if it is your will, accept our call to be teacher and principal. We also pray, Lord, that you would bless his family during this time, that they would not be anxious or troubled by this difficult decision that Paul has to make. We know, Lord, that you are in control of all things and you're ruling all things for the good of your church. And so we pray above all that your will be done and that the good of your kingdom be furthered. We also ask, Lord, that you would bless the hearts and minds of those who are considering or have accepted calls recently. Help them in their new callings to spread your word faithfully and make it spread with power. Dear crucified and risen Savior, you did die for all of our sins. So we place our sins, our sorrows, our wants, and our cares on you. You have invited us to come to you for rest. Remind us of the joy that is ours in believing. May we never forfeit that joy because of our unbelief or sin. Through your Holy Spirit, keep us fully committed to your word of truth, that by it our trust in you may deepen and our appreciation of your love may grow. Enable us also by your Spirit to serve you with a full Christian life. We joyfully praise your holy name, O blessed Savior and Lord, the light of the world, as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close with hymn 919.
Jesus.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. Please do sign our guest book, and we invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A couple of announcements from the bulletin. First of all, after our service today, we'll be having a mission outreach meeting in the fellowship hall. Be a kind of a brief meeting, hopefully be able to accomplish that within 30 minutes or so. And then when we are done, we'll be having a light lunch together before I have to head off to the second service up in Hayward. Next Sunday, our Bible class is at 8:45, and then our worship service with communion next Sunday will be at 10 a.m. It is the first Sunday of May already next week, 10 o'clock worship service. You see the change of elder and usher for next Sunday as well for the month of May. Please do keep our school and our congregation in your prayers as we ask the Lord to bring us a teacher and pray for Paul and his family as he deliberates that call. There's also a sign-up sheet to the right as you leave near the guest registry for Lutheran spokesmen. If you'd like a subscription and would like the congregational discount, you can sign the sheet there. If you're a first-time subscriber, you get it for $6 for a year. Otherwise, I guess if you've subscribed before, I don't know how you prove this or don't prove it. You can check the new box if you want. I will not tell on you. You can sign up on that sheet and get it for a discount of $12. So the order form is due by June 30th. Please do sign if you'd like to have the spokesman delivered to your house. Also need to include your address on that sheet as well. There's a sample of the spokesman right above the sign-up sheet in the entryway today, too. Any other announcements this morning? Paul.
I have a brief letter of acknowledgement from Paul Teeple, who writes to our congregation. He says, "Dear members of St. Stephen, on Sunday, April 23rd, I received your call to serve as principal and teacher. I invite your prayers and comments as I consider this call, along with my current call to Messiah, and pray that the Spirit leads me to a decision in accordance with his will. In Christ, Paul Teeple III."
Any other announcements this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.